St. Mark. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed the man, with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we begin ordinary time today, we can reflect a little bit about the wisdom of the church in sequencing the Gospels in ordinary time. It would have made sense for them to have started with Matthew, just like the books of the Bible, that Matthew comes before Mark and most editions of the Gospel, practically all. They chose Mark, though, not just because some scholars think that it's the first to be done in time, but also because Mark gets right into it at the beginning of ordinary time. We have the baptism of Jesus, and then we go straight to Jesus calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and then we have today's scene. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum, and he taught with an authority that astonished people. And to show the authority of his word, when this man with the unclean spirit was convulsing and wondering whether Jesus of Nazareth had come there to make a spectacle of them and destroy them in the presence of everyone, Jesus exorcised the man, and the man was healed. And everyone exclaimed, "What is this? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." The power of his word was such that he controlled the supernatural world too. That was touching their souls greatly. And the church wants us at the beginning of every new liturgical year, as we enter into the common, ordinary time, to recognize that it is extraordinary in the sense that the Lord continues to speak with awesome authority, that the Lord's voice, the Lord's word, can still command and does the heavens and the earth. And it wants us to focus on our receptivity to that extraordinary gift. I think it's important for us to focus on this coming out of the Christmas season, which ended yesterday. The main point of this liturgical spiral that leads us through Advent and Christmas at the beginning of every repeated journey, taking us more deeply into the heart of God, is Christmas leads us to ponder the incarnation, that God has really become one of us, Emmanuel, remains with us, Yeshua, saving us. A lot of the times when we think about the authority of God's word, we can think about it as a bunch of holy words, as an inspired message oozing with God's instruction. But there's a much better way to relate to the word of God, one that we should adopt, that this word is a living word. It is a voice coming from the Lord with us, speaking to us in the here and now. And once we begin to recognize that it is God speaking to us live, then we, can respond to the Holy Spirit to react with a similar astonishment at the authority with which Jesus speaks. That's the reason why, as you probably know, the church stands at the Alleluia for the gospel, because as the Second Vatican Council teaches, when the scriptures are proclaimed in the midst of the assembly of the church, it is Christ himself speaking, even through a hoarse voice in a cold on a January day. Once we begin to have that type of approach to how God speaks to us in the here and now, then we can start to hear his echoes with far greater responsiveness. Today in the first reading, we see something really quite beautiful. Hannah was suffering. You know so much about suffering women. She was there praying in such a way with such fervor that Eli thought she was drunk. We're going to have a chance to talk about Eli and his sons and the multiple corruptions later. The very fact that a priest in a temple would think that a woman praying with this emotion would be inebriated rather than in need is quite a commentary. But nevertheless, when she, with confidence in the Lord, turned and said to the priest there in the temple of Shiloh, "It isn't that, I'm unhappy. I'm pouring out my troubles to the Lord. My prayer has been prompted by deep sorrow and misery." When Eli said to her, with all his issues, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him," so attentive was she to the word of the representative of God that she acted. So she left, ate and drank, and no longer appeared downcast. She took Eli's word as a word of God. Once we, likewise, start to listen to the Lord with attentiveness, especially in our prayer in which he continues to speak to us, we're able to hear him speaking in ordinary events in which God acts, just like he spoke through the pregnancy, as we will see, of Samuel, even though it was inaudible. We'll similarly be able to hear the Lord speaking in the counsel of others, in their encouragement, occasionally in their correction. We'll be able to hear him speaking to us from the most unlikely of sources, including, as he himself would identify, in the poor, the sick, the naked, the stranger, the imprisoned, the hungry and the thirsty, the ill. Today, as we come forward, the Lord wants our heart to exalt as a response to the receptivity of his word. As we begin the season of ordinary time on the heels of Christmas, we remember what St. Ambrose used to say about the way we're supposed to listen to God's word each day. We're supposed to listen like Mary at the Annunciation, at the conception of the word, so that God's word may take our flesh. The great medieval iconographers used to depict the modality of the Annunciation in the Incarnation as happening through Mary's ear and her heart before it had ever touched her womb. And St. Ambrose said that when we listen attentively to the Word of God, when we listen to it as it deserves to be heard with that apposite astonishment, we conceive the Word within and become, in essence, the mother of the Word. We become pregnant with God's Holy Word as it grows more and more as we ponder that word, meditate on it, ruminate on it, break it down into its parts, apply it to our life as we hear it as a word to be done, so that that word may take on our flesh and dwell among us. In the greatest preparation for the verbum caro factum est is the verbum domini for which we stand. Praise be Jesus Christ.